So we're going to begin where we left off last week. It started with a discussion about why it is that tefillah has the koach to be mekari gzardino shel adam, that prayer has the capacity to tear up an evil decree that a person may have against them. And we spoke about tefillah being one of a series of tools that can achieve that goal, the others being tzedakah, shinui hashem, and shinui maisa. But if you look carefully at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Tesvav, it doesn't say that tefillah has that capacity. It says that tzaka, the crying out, has that capacity. So we're trying to understand what exactly is the nature of this type of tzaka, and what does that have to do with tefillah? We normally group them together. Tefillah and tzaka go together. So what kind of tefillah is that? So we spoke about the Malbim saying that tzaka is the type of tefillah that arises when a person has nothing but despair, when their backs are up against the wall and they have nothing left. I thought of this Malbim today. I was with I'm a therapist during the day. I had a couple that I thought had given up on therapy. And when they realized, oh no, we might actually have to be done. So they found all these things that they'd actually progressed on. And they thought, hey, this is helpful. We should continue. So when your back is up against the wall, you realize, I'm really not so helpless. I have, right? If all else fails, look up towards Shemayim. That's why shuls have windows. The halacha says the shul is supposed to have a window in it so that a person loses kavana, they get distracted. So we're supposed to lift our esa. We know that we lift up our eyes to Hashem, to the heavens. And that's supposed to, the blue sky is supposed to remind us of the Kisei HaKavod, and that reminds us that Hashem is sitting on the Kisei HaKavod waiting to hear our tefillos and to answer us as He sees fit. So, that was the beginning of it. We spoke about the machlokes of the Rambam. The Rambam said that tefillah is a mitzvah de'oraisa, and we quoted the Ramban, who said that's not the case. The Ramban held that, in fact, it's a mitzvah midrabanan. We're going to come back to that after we finish up this piece discussing why it is that tefillah has such a potent power to it. And we'll come back to understand the nature of the machlokes going a little bit further from what we explained from Reb Soloveitchik last week. We ended off, we were up to the smak. The Sefer Mitzvot Katan tells us that it's a mitzvah lehispalel b'kavana b'chol yom, that it's a mitzvah to daven with intent every day, as the pasuk says, "Olavdo b'chol levavchem." A person is to worship Hashem with all of their heart. V'darshu Rabbi Yosef Zichrono Livracha, "Ezihi avoda shehu b'lev." What does it mean? An avoda leavdo b'chol levavchem. What are we talking about? Avoda with your heart. This is referring to a person who davens with kavana, right? What does kavana mean? So part of it could be entirely intellectual, simply understanding the explanation, the translation of the words. But a person who's really connected to tefillah is not only going to connect on an intellectual level, but when you talk about your basic needs and the gratitude that you have for God, and you talk about the needs that you have, so inevitably, it's going to shift from the intellect of the mind down to the emotions of the heart. And therefore, that is the avoda, right? Can you get from the head down to the heart? And if you can, if you're able to achieve that transformation, that's a successful davening. Hispal bekavana pirush. So what does that mean? Afal pisha ikar tefilas dirabanan. Even though, well, everybody agrees, except for the Rambam wouldn't, but according to the Ramban, we all say that tefillah is midrabanan, and it's only rabbinic. Mikol makom yesh tefillah shehi min haTorah. There is a tefillah that is biblically driven, as the pasuk says, uvikashta misham es Hashem elokecha matzasa. Right, when you're searching for something, we don't search at the building across the street. We don't search in the super ed across the street. We search to God. God is the one who gives us the ability to go into the super ed, have money in our pockets to buy and to create the food that is available for purchase in that store. So the Ramban, the Smak is saying something very similar to the Ramban. Right? The Rambam, and this fits with the way we understood Rav Soloveitchik, where Rav Soloveitchik said that it's when a person is always in a state of existential crisis. It's always an eis tzara, because the Rambam says there's always a chiyuv of tefillah. The Ramban said, no, the only time that you're obligated to daven midah araisa is when a person is in crisis. What Rav Soloveitchik said is that they're not arguing, they're actually saying the same thing. A person should always perceive themselves as being in a state of crisis. We always need Hashem's support. And we try to understand, what does that mean, right? We don't live, that's not at the forefront of our minds, but it's the latent kavana just underneath the surface. If we think about why it is that this works, why are we coming to shul, why are we coming to daven, it's because we recognize that we don't do this on our own. And we're gonna dig a little bit on that idea in just a moment. The Sma continues and says, "Ukishi yispalel," when a person davens, and "Yivakesh davar," when if we ask for something, right? Very often we need something. It's not explicitly laid out in the Shmona Esrei, but we need something in particular, and we should feel comfortable turning to Hashem, just like we ask for das and we ask for mechila and we ask for refuah and geula. So there's something else that I just want to spell out, because I appreciate the closeness of that relationship and the power of that moment. So I'm going to tell you, Hashem, you know what I need. I don't have to say it, but it's good for me to be able to spell it out so that I know what I'm dependent on Hashem for. So when we ask for something, says the Smak, Al yisaper machmas tefilasi, don't think that Hashem has to give this to me, right? El yachshov shakodesh baruch hu yivienu bechazdo. It's not that I need this, and therefore Hashem has to give it to me. I'm not demanding this of my Father in heaven, just like we would demand something of our children, like we asked of our parents, or our children demand of us. Hashem gives it to us because he wants to give it. He wants to be kind. He wants to express his chesed, his loving kindness towards his people. And so when we kaviyachol remind him of what we need, that's what's going on in the context of tefillah. It's not a gimme this, gimme that, gimme the other thing, but rather, here's our relationship, right? I come to you three times a day, and you promised that you would take care of us. So here's what I need today. Perhaps, you know, if I have found favor in your eyes based on my actions and my behavior today and my coming to daven and this chusim that I have and this chusim of my forefathers, perhaps I will be able to curry a sufficient amount of chesed in Hashem's eyes that He will want to give that chesed to me. The Ramchal says it in Mesilas Yesharim that the entire world is just created for Hashem to give to us. And people think, why, you know, we have tainus against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but ultimately Hashem made everything for us. He didn't need to create the world. He didn't need to create mankind. But He chose to do so because He wants to give. He always wants to give chesed. We speak about, the Rambam talks about, how do you cultivate a nature of being a gomel chesed? So you could write $1 million check and say, you know what, I gave my tzedakah probably for my lifetime. Most of us, right, think that would, halavai, we would have enough money to give $1 million to tzedakah. But I'm just going to write one big publisher's clearinghouse size check, and I'm going to say, here, and you can figure out what you want to do with it and leave me alone. Or you can write, as Yaal's grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, used to do, whenever he would get a solicitation in the mail, so he would send them $1 with a note, with a, you know, Hatzlacha, I'm sorry that I can't help you anymore, but I appreciate the work that you're doing for Klal Yisrael. So this is the chesed. We hope that those little things, you know, imagine the person, he opens up the envelope. Okay, it's $1. It's very nice. You know, it pays for postage. It doesn't pay for the person's time necessarily of processing it and entering it. But the note of the chizuk, of coming to Hashem and saying, look, this is what I need. So perhaps that will be enough to curry favor in the eyes of the Borei Olam. When we ask Hashem for something, we're implicitly acknowledging two things. Number one, that it's in His ability to grant us that thing to the exclusion of everybody else. And number two, is that I can't do this by myself, because if I could, I wouldn't be here. That's a very powerful statement. It's a humbling statement. It's a statement that allows us to refocus on what is the nature of our relationship with God. That only He can provide for us, and we can't do it alone. But with His help, we can do all of the things that we aspire and dream about. The first bakasha in Shmona Esrei is ata chonin la'adam das. But before we ask for knowledge and wisdom and intellect and the ability to discern all the things that we need to evaluate and determine on a given day, we acknowledge ata chonin la'adam das. It's not just Hashem, please give me das. It's you have the das. And so share a little bit of your godliness, your godly wisdom with me so that I can be like you and fulfill all of the things that Hashem expects from us. Tzaaka is a cry when we have nothing else. When we look up in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we say, I have nothing if not for you. It's the same type of dependency that's created that we express verbally in the tefillah. And that verbalization, in case we haven't reached that point already, if we're understanding of what the words mean on a basic level, so that helps us focus. Okay, even if I was distracted and I was thinking about the Giants game last night, but now I get to Ata Chonein, so I know that Hashem wants me, Hashem has Das, so He probably doesn't want me thinking about the Giants in the middle of Shemona Esrei, and I know that, you know, the Giants winning is dependent on Him, just like everything else in my life is dependent on Him, and so therefore, okay, now I have Kavana again, I can focus, because I recognize this dependency. According to the Rambam, every tefillah is a tzaaka. Every tefillah is a cry for help because of our utter dependence on Hashem. According to the Ramban, it's only when we need something that we realize how dependent we are, and that causes our tefillah to become a tefillah be'es tzara. And according to Rav Salavitchik, that's always the case because we can't get from even here, right? Most shuls, if you daven mincha marav, so how do I have kavana? You think about ne'ilah, tamariv, motzei Yom Kippur. Right? What does it mean? How could it be that I have to daven Shemona Esrei all over again? I was just at the very, probably spiritual pinnacle of the year for me. And I go and I daven a regular, you know, weekday davening. What does that mean? And the answer is because Yom Kippur is over and now it's a new day. And if you want to get to Shacharis, you got to daven Mariv. Because you recognize that it doesn't. We can't take it for granted. So why is it that tzaaka is mekari gzardino shel adam? So we've understood why the Rabbeinu Bachis says that tzaaka is the best type of tefillah. Right? According to the Rambam, it's every tefillah is a tzaaka, and according to the Rambam, every tefillah is a tzaaka because we have to daven, and according to the Ramban, every tefillah is an eis tzara because we recognize that everything ultimately comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why does it have that power? Why is it like Tshuva, why is it like Shinoi Maiser or Shinoi Hashem? So I think the answer is when a person slips up, right, when we commit an Avera, so we do so for a couple of reasons. Perhaps kina, jealousy, that person had it, I want it too, I want to try, I want to experience what that good thing is in my life. Taiva, we desire it. Kavod, we think that it's going to bring us honor. Or ultimately, all of those things combined only occur because of what Chazal referred to as a ruach shtus, of some ridiculous thought that distracts us from our avodas Hashem. So when a person doesn't think about our relationship with God, so it's in that moment that we can think, you know what, I can survive without Hashem for a little while. I can do this on my own. And, you know, I'll come back to Him later. But right now, I'm okay. You know, maybe He can go help somebody else out, or maybe He's not always watching me. There isn't always this dependency. And so therefore, if I do something wrong, it's okay. And that's, you know, the most logical. Usually it's just impulsive, and it's the ruach shtus of just, hey, look over there, that looks nice, I want that. But that's what the ruach shtus is. The ruach shtus takes us away from this latent understanding of our constant relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so when we have a tzaaka, when we have a cry, we recognize ein lanu al milo hisha, ein ela al avinu shabashamayim. If there's nobody else to whom we can turn except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Hashem sees that is our tefillah, that our tefillah takes on the nature of a tzaaka, of a crying out, be'es tzara, then how can He not respond? Hashem almost, okay, I see how much this means to you, salachti kidvarecha, I'll give you whatever you need for today. If we deserve it. Because we either show Him how we're constantly dependent on Him, or we recognize that everything that we have comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehi ben Olam Haba, who is it that is a person who's going to be worthy of the world to come? Zeh HaSomech Ge'ulu L'Tfila Shal Arvis. It's a person who juxtaposes the Geula, talking about Ga'al Yisrael, to Tfilah of Shmona Esrei in Maariv. What's that all about? Why does the person who's careful about not making a hefsik between Ga'al Yisrael and Shmona Esrei of Maariv, that's what's going to get me to Olam Haba? We can think of lots of other things that would make a person worthy of such great brachos. The Rishonim say that it's trying to accomplish two things. Is it a kiyum of geula, that the way that a person expresses geula and appreciates redemption is by connecting that to tefillah? Or is it a kiyum of tefillah, that the way to enhance your tefillah is by connecting it to geula? And we'll explain what that means. It seems it might be a little bit abstract right now. The Rishonim understand that if you really understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yachol, that Hashem can do whatever He wants, whenever He wants, with anything in the world at His fingertips, so to speak, that He did miracles in Egypt. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Nisim and Iflos and Makos, and He split the Yam Suf and all of that. Well, what does that mean? So if He had the capacity back then right now in Tavshanai and Zion, I have other needs. I might not need Geula, but this, whatever I have, is like small chickens compared to splitting the Red Sea. That's not a big deal for Him. So if I recognize that, then that changes, then Hashem is going to listen to my informal tefillos to put food on the table, to rebuild Yerushalayim, to get me through the day without traffic, without a car accident if it's raining and cars are hydroplaning and water is splashing all over the place. Hashem's going to help us because He could split those seas. So of course He could make sure that the water doesn't hit my windshield in just the right place at just the right time that I would get hurt. A person who presents their needs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows that that they take Hashem's capacities, capabilities very seriously. And if you don't believe that the Makos and the Nisim and Mitzrayim happened, if you don't believe in the Geula, then what are you saying about your tefillah? Your tefillah is reduced. Your understanding of what tefillah is all about isn't as great because you don't believe that the person that you're davening to has the capability to answer your tefillos in a meaningful way. And so if you don't believe in geula, then you're not going to believe in tefillah. So if you're mafsik, then it's not going to work. So you have to have it together. You're showing yourself, geula enhances my tefillah. But other Rishonim say that when we say smichas geula tefillah, it's actually a prerequisite to tefillah. It's not informing the geula. It doesn't reaffirm our belief that Hashem has the capacity to be a Ga'al Yisrael. But rather, if you come to Hashem with a long list of needs, so how can you ask for something without saying, "Hi, oh wow, that tie looks so great on you." Or, "You did a great job with the rain. We were 9 inches in the deficit. The reservoirs were drying up, and today we got about an inch, inch and a half. That was terrific. Now, there's something else I'd like you to do also." When that changes how you ask for something, because you recognize, okay, Hashem just did that today, so I'm not going to worry about the drought, because in one day I could make up 1/9 of my deficit. Now, we hope that Hashem gives us Gishmei Bracha in a manageable way, where it doesn't cause flooding, and it's more calm and benachas. But we have to first acknowledge in HaKadosh Baruch Hu what He is. As Moshe Rabbeinu did, the Eschanan al Hashem, Moshe davens to Hashem, Asher yaseh k'ma'asecha v'chigvur asecha, Hashem, You have the capacity to do wonders. And then, by the way, Ebrana, I just want to ask you, I'm going to go over there. Is that all right with you? I just want to see Eretz Yisrael. Because He framed it in that way, it changes the way that we approach tefillah. It changes the way that we ask Hashem for anything. Because without that, tefillah is not only inappropriate, but it's chutzpah. In the first case, it was saying that we don't believe in tefillah. The second case, we're saying this is how we understand tefillah. We have to frame it in a way that's appropriate. So according to this opinion, it's not an enhancement of geula, but rather it's an enhancement of our understanding of tefillah. And with that, that's why, what's the very first thing we say before Shmona Esrei? As we're so meich geula l'tefillah, we say Hashem sefasai tiftach. I can't get the words out without your help. Even my tefillah I need help with. But you're the one who can help me do that. And so they're both right. It's a kiyum of both geula, and it can also be a kiyum of tefillah. And that's why Tefillah has the awesome power to be Mekari Gzardino Shel Adam, because it allows us to understand, how did we get to this place that we had this Gzardin? And how do I get myself out of it? It's because I can cultivate this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I can ultimately be successful. I'd like to go back now to the very beginning of what Tefillah Shmona Esrei at least is. The Gemara in Brachos tells us, there's a machlokes, between Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina says, Tfilos avos tiknum. Right? What is it? Why is it that we daven 3 times a day? We could daven 5 times a day like they do over there. We could daven 6 times a day. What's three? What's the significance of three? So Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina says that it's because of the three avos. And the Gemara is going to explain in a moment. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, no, it's not the avos. It's tfilos keneged tmidin tiknum. It's because of the schedule of karbanos, the sacrifices that were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Gemara brings proofs to support both sides. Tanya kavase de Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina, Avraham tikein tefila shachris. So Avraham was misakein tefila shachris, as the pasuk says, Vayashkeim Avraham baboker, el hamakom asher amar sham. So Moshe woke up very early in the morning. Avraham woke up early in the morning. I wanted to see if you were listening. Avraham wakes up very early in the morning, and he goes to the place, Asher Amad Sham, to the place that he had been standing. So we understand, Ein Amida El Tfila. What does it mean that he's standing? He's standing because he's standing like we stand in, when we daven Shmona Esrei. The Gemara also darshans from here that we learn that the importance of having a set place to daven, a makom kavua. Because if Avraham has a makom, that he amad sham, and he's returning to that place, it means that there must be some significance to that place, that he has to go back to it. So that's number one. Then we find by Yitzchak. Yitzchak tekein tefilas mincha, shne'amar, v'yetza Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnos erev. That Yitzchak goes out to daven in the field. V'ein sicha ela tefila. What does it mean that we dialogue, to have a conversation with himself? Is he meditating? No, he's not in the field talking to himself. He's having a dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, Yaakov tekein tefilas arvis, shne'amar, v'yifka b'makom v'yolein sham. The Yaakov had a vayifka, and that means vayifka b'makom vayolein sham, is that that was a meeting between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the evening. The Gemara continues and says that it's a parallel to karbanos, and ultimately says, and Rav Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina says, the olam eima lecha tfilos avos teknum. You're right. It's really because of the avos, v'asmechinhu rabbano na karbanos. And it's an asmachta, it's a hint that it's also related to karbanos. Maybe we're both right. Dilo tema hachi tfilos musaf le Rav Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina mai takana. Right? If you say that it's only for the avos, so you're never going to daven musaf on Shabbos or Yantif. So it has to be a little bit of both. Ela tfilos avos teknum v'asmechinhu rabbano na karbanos. What does this mean? That these two models are actually very different, and it's really born out of the psukim that the Gemara quotes. But why does it matter? Right? At the end of the day, why is it so important that we know the basis of davening Shmona Esrei 3 times a day? The bottom line is, that's what we do. And if it's an esmachta akra, then okay, that's the way Chazal instituted tefillah when they created the Siddur, when they created a formalization of tefillah. Why does it make a difference? L'may nafkamina, avos, or karbanos on either side. So what we see is, if you look at the psukim that the Gemara quotes, that Rav Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina brings to support his position that tefillah is based on the avos. So what happens with the avos? It's a spontaneous discussion. It's a spontaneous desire. Avraham wakes up early in the morning. He wants to daven. Yitzchak interrupts whatever it is that he's doing that day to have a little discussion, a little conversation, a sicha. It's not a long thing. It's not a formal avodah shebelev. And Yaakov, similarly, vayifka b'makom vayolein sham. It just happened to be that way. He found this place. He rested there. It's something spontaneous. It's not something that we prepare for necessarily far in advance. It's something that just springs forth from our hearts, from our neshamos, from our minds. Karbanos, on the other hand, there's this timetable for them. This carbon's brought in the morning, and this carbon's brought in the afternoon. And then for the nighttime, the fats and limbs are burned on the Mizbeach. There's a rigidity to it. There's a structure to it. It's not spontaneous at all. It's very predictable. We know that there are certain Kohanim whose responsibility it is to bring certain Karbanos, and we can prepare for that. We've set up a whole cycle of Kohanim, when they're serving, at which times, and the Levium sing this Shira when it goes corresponding to that carbon. There's a predictability to it. It's very different. It's not spontaneous whatsoever. So what we see is, is tefillah meant to be spontaneous? Perhaps that's the nekuda hamachlokas. That is the point of contention. Is it that tefillah is supposed to be a spontaneous experience? Or, as Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, is it intended to be a more structured experience? I think on some level we hope that it is that spontaneous emotion that motivates our prayer. And it's probably that which creates that feeling of intensity of this being an Eis Tzara every time we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not that rigidity likely will not allow for that spontaneity and that feeling of existential crisis. Because if you feel like, okay, this is what I do at 1:45 p.m. every day, so it doesn't create a sense of urgency. It creates a sense of structure and schedule like a carbon. But it doesn't create the same connection that the Avos had when they first instituted these tefillos. The Rambam writes, Mitzvah Saseh L'Nispal B'chol Yom, Shenemar V'yarvanatem Eshashan L'Kacham P'yashmu Alamdu Shavodazu Hi Tefillah, as we said before. Right, and then we have the Ramban says, no, it's the other way. And Rav Salavitchik says that they're not arguing. Right, one is... Both of them agree that tefillah really emanates from a feeling of vulnerability and anxiety. And if we consider how dependent we are on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'd feel that stress. And on some level, you know, tefillah really needs to be a natural experience. There's structure and there's standards, right? Some people decide, this system of tefillah doesn't work for me. I want to be able to daven on my schedule. That's very nice. You can daven on your schedule. But you also need to stick with the structure of the rigidity of the system, because they really work hand in hand. There's an expectation that davening three times a day is going to enhance our connection, not detract from our connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so perhaps one of the reasons that we have a mechitza in shul is that if we are sitting with our husband or with our wife or with our daughter, there's just a level of comfort, right? We feel like, oh, this is a family experience. It's very reassuring. We're all here together. But if you're separate and you're not able to share your needs in the immediate moment, so there's a distance. And I think about my family on the other side of the mechitza, whichever way it may be. And that creates that sense of Eis Tzara, of the needs that I have in representing myself and my family. Maybe my family on the other side of the mechitza doesn't have good kavana today, because I didn't have good kavana this morning, so there's a good chance that they don't have good kavana. So maybe we need to daven for each other. And it's because of that, you know, distance makes the heart grow fonder, but it's not from the two of us, it's channeled upwards towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what does the Siddur signify? The Siddur is the Avadatem Es Hashem Elokecha, right? Originally there was little text. We're going to get into the text of the Siddur. There was originally, we didn't have this structure of the Matbeah Shetavu B'Chachamim. There wasn't a formal bracha of Asher Nasan Lasech V'Vina L'Havchin Ben Yom V'Vin Laila, that we express our gratitude for Hashem creating this difference between night and day and the ability to discern morning from night, and therefore we're able to fulfill the mitzvahs of tefillah and the mitzvah of tzitzis and tefillin, etc., etc. We didn't have that structure. A person woke up, Baruch Hashem, I woke up, and thank you for giving me another opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah, etc. Right, the Rambam says, "V'ein minyan hatfilos b'Torah, v'ein mishnah hatfila, v'ein latfila zman kavua." There was no set time. There was no text. It wasn't set up, you know, delineated clearly in the Torah. It was spontaneous, and that's perhaps, you know, why the Rambam says you always have to daven, because there should always be that spontaneity in the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that included within it, subsumed within it, was Shevach and Bakasha and Hoda'ah. The Tosefta writes at the... we'll skip that for a second. The Rambam writes in Halacha Beis that women are typically peturos. They're typically exempt. V'lofikach nashem yavadim chayavim b'tfila l'fishi himitzos asei shelo hazman grama. Sorry, I said the opposite. They are obligated because it's not a zman grama. It's not that there's a specific, there didn't used to be a set time for people to daven. Elachiyav mitzvah zu kachi. Shehei adam ischaninu mispal b'chol yov. A person always has to daven every day. U'magid shvachu shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achar kach shawal tzirachav. First you express your praise for Hashem. Then you express your needs. It was a spontaneous thing. My tefillah is going to be very different from your tefillah. It depends on my fluency and what's going on in my life. And it's not that I can open this sitter and you'll say the same words as you will, as you will, as you will, all over the world. Every person's tefillah was unique. And to some extent, we need to continue to hold on to that, what used to be, even though we have a standard, but the kavana that we have could be different, the things that we add into it could be different, and it's that that creates that spontaneity and that feeling of the Eis Tzara. In Halacha Gimel, the Rambam says, "Im hayu ragil, im a person is accustomed to it, mar bebetchino v'akasha," so you should increase the amount of tefillos that you say in requests. But if a person is not fluent, we think of, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, who is in Arel Sifasayim. So you do whatever you can, but right? A person is, the point is not the rigidity of it, the point is the consistency of it. Every person is supposed to daven the best they can, and that's what this series is really going to be all about, is every person is going to find something else that speaks to you. There's some idea, there's some concept, there's some tefillah that you like more than another, and that will allow us to daven kefi yecholto ubechol eis sheyirtze. It'll give us the tools to be able to daven as best we can, given the structure of the tefillah, but adding our own spontaneity, our own connection to the tefillah that we have. So what happened? Right? Why do we have this big sitter that seems to be so different and on some level makes us a little bit distant from the spontaneity, and because we're reciting the same words, it becomes rote? So the Rambam writes in Halacha Dalet, Kevin Shagalu Yisrael b'yimei Nebuchadnezzar harasha nis'arvu Bepras v'yavon ushar ha'umos. So Klal Yisrael became dispersed among many nations. V'noldu lahem banim ba'aratzos hagayim, and they had children in these foreign lands, in chutz la'aretz, in the Gola. V'osan habanim nisbal balu sefasam, and those children who were born, right, they didn't know Yiddish anymore. They didn't know Hebrew anymore. They spoke English. They spoke French. They spoke Aramaic. And their languages became mingled. There wasn't a clear lineage of yichus, of a Jewish person speaks Lashon HaKodesh. That was gone. We lost it because of assimilation. So everybody wasn't able to speak their needs in the same language. You'd have a minion of people, but this person's traveling through and they're from France and this one's coming from Spain. I don't know your language. You don't know. How could you represent me? I don't know what you're saying. I don't understand the very basic of the Perish Hamilim. And so therefore, Ela Bishibush, it was a very confusing. Shnemar Uvneim, so skip Uvneim Chatzi Medaber Ashdudas. They didn't recognize the Lashon HaKodesh. And therefore, so everything got all mixed up. So Ezra comes along, and he's Roas HaNolad. He sees what's happened already, and what's going to continue to happen if there's no takana, if there's no improvement on a leadership level. So Kevin Shira, Ezra Beisino, Kach Amdu V'Tiknu Lahem Shmona Esrei Brachos Al HaSeder. So at that point, when he realized, look, you know, Golus is a reality. We're going to get into this situation again. So we need to take whatever measures we can to preserve at least the Avoda Shebelev, because we know how powerful and how critical Tefillah is. If we're in Golus because we've slipped up,
So then we can be Mekarig Zardino Shel Adam, we can reverse this decree, we can go back to Eretz Yisrael if we're able to harness the power of Tefillah. And that's not working right now. Because we're all interspersed, we have different languages, we can't relate to each other. And so therefore we need to do something to bring everybody back together, to create unity. And that is by creating a standard text that everybody says. You walk into a shul in Uganda, you walk into a shul in Australia, and you walk into a shul in Elizabeth, and the guy getting off the plane at Newark Airport from Australia comes into our shul at 5:45, and he knows it's the same sitter. I have that sitter at home, the same one that they have on the bookshelf here in shul. Shalosh Rishonos Shevach LaHashem. So the first three is praising Hashem. Shalosh Acheros Hodaya. And then the next three is praising Hashem. V'yemtzos Yesh Behen Sheilos. And in the middle, we have our request, the things that we need. Kol HaDvarim Shehen Kimo Avos L'chol Chavtzei Ish Ve'ish. Just as Avraham came to Hashem with his needs, and Yitzchak came to Hashem with his needs, and Yaakov with his needs, we replicate that. We allow for the, you know, the individuality of tefillah with the different needs that a person may have. Tzarchei hatzibur kulan, as well as the needs of the entire congregation. Kedei shehiyu aruchos b'fi kol, v'yilamdu osan, v'tiyat tefillas elu ha'agalim, tefillah shlema ketefillas balei halashan atzach. So this is the way that we can elevate tefillah, because we're all going to literally be on the same page. And this was the takana that Ezra made. Then we added Vilam Al Shinim, right? That was the 19th bracha that we'll get to. But this is the idea of where this tefillah kavua of having a sitter, having something set, A, on a schedule, which the Rambam says was not the way it was initially, and having a set girsa, set text, all of that was an improvement. We think, oh, if only, you know, nowadays, you walk into, I was in a school last week, and let's say the Aron Kodesh is over there, so on either side of the Aron Kodesh, along the ceiling, just under the windows, there are these different phrases that I think are supposed to help the students focus. Right? I was talking to a principal of a different school at a Simcha on Sunday, and he said, no matter what school you go into, it doesn't make a difference where you are in the spectrum, the number one thing that middle school kids, right, the kids who are 6th grade, 7th graders, one of the things that they struggle with is tefillah, is connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because for them, everything is individualized today. Learning is individualized. Teachers have to know how to differentiate instruction for the needs of every individual student. The kids can pick which music they want to listen to, and iPods and iPhones, and what app you want, and you choose who you want to talk to. All of this is individual. And now I come into shul and I have to be just like you, and you have to be just like me, but we're so different. We don't get along any other time of the day other than tefillah, where we're supposed to be united. But what unites us? They don't feel like it unites them. They don't understand the power that tefillah has. And so what they've done is, Koren has a sitter by somebody who brings down some thought-provoking questions that when a student, it's great for adults also, when you get distracted, when you don't connect to tefillah that day, so go down to the bottom of the page and look at some question that's going to bring you back to enhance your kavana. So they had in this school different ideas of what it means to be part of a tzibur. What does it mean to be connecting, to talking to Hashem? You know, can we really relate to that? It's a very, very foreign thing for us. And so with the structure, we've lost to some extent the spontaneity, the organic nature of tefillah. But as we see from the Rambam, it was necessary. Because if not for that, we might have risked losing tefillah altogether. We would not have been able to daven as a tzibur. So the Rav says, who do we think we are to approach HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're doing this because of we have the Matbeah Shetavu B'Chachamim. It's this text that they have. And so therefore, that's how we can begin to get into the sitter, because we now understand, why is it that I have to say the same thing every day? And why is it that my tefillah is the same as your tefillah when we really come from different backgrounds and we have different experiences? Because there's something that unites us, and that is we all understand what tefillah is all about, the power of tefillah, the capacity of tefillah. And if we use that properly, so Emir Tzashem, we won't have to suffer through an extended period of galus where we continue to feel the distance, but rather the tefillah will allow us to reach the pinnacle and to achieve all of the dreams and aspirations, not only of our generation, but of generations that have preceded us for millennia.